Now hold your horses right there. This episode was originally recorded for the Retro Movie Geek podcast, the Spooky Flicks Fest that they have every October. They went ahead and released it on their platform, and I figured why not release it to my audience as well. Here it is. And also, hit up the YouTube, and you can find it there as well under Mom and Pop Video Shop or on my channel. And on with the show. Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, prints, and shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another fleshy, frisbee-flying, and big-ass, blue-headed alien have an episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, this is a special episode for a couple of reasons. First off, I got the email from Gilman Joel over at the Retro Movie Geek podcast because it's Spooky Flicks Fest, baby. Here it comes. He sent me the list of the movies they had. Evidently, it's like forgotten films from the 80s. So as soon as I got that email, I popped onto the list because I needed to check out what they had. 80s movies, I love them. I'm a child of the 80s. But the first thing that popped out on that list was a movie from 1980 called Without Warning. Now, Without Warning, I saw this came out in 1980. So when this came out, I was about 8 years old. I probably saw it when I was about 10-ish, around there. And I got very fond memories of this movie. I loved it when I was a kid, you know, when I saw it. The whole, cause I'm a huge sci-fi nerd and I love horror. It's spectacular. I love it. So as a kid, you know, in the 80s, this was awesome. Whew. Fun times. Joel, Daryl, and Peter, I got to thank you once again for inviting me to take part in Spooky Flicks Fest. Let's get into the movie. Without Warning, 1980, directed by Graydon Clark, written by Lynn Freeman, Daniel Grodnick, and Bennett Tramer. Okay. Now, it stars Jack Palance and Martin Landau and Tara Nutter as well. I don't remember who that. Who's Tara Nutter? Which one was she? I don't remember which one, who she wasn't in the movie. I'll get to that because let's get into this cast real quick because Jack Palance and Martin Landau, big names, big actors. Now, I don't know. Let's see. Jack Palance plays Joe Taylor. Martin Landau plays Sarge, Fred Sarge Dobbs. Tara Nutter plays Sandy. We'll get to her in a minute. Christopher S. Nelson plays Greg. Cameron Mitchell, Hunter. I mean, there's a big cast. Now, one person in this cast who has, this was their debut, I believe, David Caruso. Who knows that name? Yeah, David Caruso from, say it for me, if you can. If you can't, then oh well. CSI. The dude was on CSI, right? CSI, yeah, CSI. Been in a bunch of movies. NYPD Blue, Jade, TV shows and movies. David Caruso, the redhead guy, you know. But this was his I believe it was his breakout movie, if I remember correctly. Let me open my notes up here real quick. I forgot that I had notes. So let's bump into them. Okay. As we dig into this, this is very much an 80s movie. Like I said, I loved this movie when I was a kid, right? I actually hadn't seen it since I was a kid. I had thought about it a lot because I like that whole concept. If you've never seen the movie, I'm going to ruin the hell out of it. So if you've never seen the movie, there's these alien disc meat, fleshy. It actually kind of looks like a female body part, if you ask me. But it's flesh tone, flies, got a little patch of hair on the top. And the bottom has got teeth. Wow. But these flying frisbee aliens. Let's talk about these things, okay? They're not your typical little green men. And we find out later on in the movie that these actually are like weapons, I guess. Now, they look more like flesh frisbees with hair and teeth. Like I said, they look like, I call them flying alien. Beep. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain what they, I mean, if you look them up, you can do a Google search on these and you'll pop up a picture easily. They're hard to explain, but I remember, this is what I remember from the movie from when I was a child. Now, rewatching this, oh boy, Joel, Daryl, Peter, I'm not sure I should have picked this one because For nostalgia's sake, it still holds something that I enjoy. I'll say the flying frisbees at times they look ridiculous. There's at times you can see that there's a string just holding it, it's bouncing around. You know, somebody off camera is just bouncing us around other times when they show it, it's actually flying around. So that actually looks kind of cool. The special effects are something that I did want to get into on this, but I'm going to save that for a minute because I want to talk about my letdown of these. No, they're not completely a letdown because there's time. Of course, when you're a kid, you don't notice certain things. But in this one, this time, this watch through, I did note, and I actually made my older son watch it with me too. I think he left about halfway through. He was like, yeah, I'm not interested. I just can't get interested in it. Oh, well. But I think the idea of aliens like this, they're actually weapons. We find out later that they're weapons. We'll get to who's using these as weapons here in a minute. But I think this concept of this, it's scary. And this is why I think I liked this when I was a kid, because the idea that it goes along like with Alien, you know, you got those face huggers, they jump and it's like almost, it's creepy, scary. And you see these little frisbee, fleshy, hair tuft, teeth bearing things flying at you. It's going to freak you out a little bit, right? So, and it was creepy and scary. And I think that's why I liked it when I was a kid. I think. I don't really remember. But I know watching it this time, it's very dated. The special effects, most of the time for these flying frisbee things, weren't the greatest. With that being said, there are times where it's awesome. When these things come out, they stick to you, you know, like suction cup kind of thing. They fly like a frisbee at you, and when they come and get you on the back, on the face, wherever they land, they stick to you. And then they have these little tendrils that come out and they jab into your flesh. You know, and some of the special effects that they did with this, but that's that part when the things are flying and landing on you, I enjoyed that because you could tell it's a practical effect, and it looks, well, it's not the greatest looking thing in the world. It looks good. In my opinion, I thought it looked good with these little tendrils coming out and how they're digging into people's faces and in their backs, blood and oozing out. And now there's times later on in the movie we're going to talk about here the budget and everything. What was the budget on this scene? Let me think. Does the IMDb have the budget? I don't know. $150,000 to make this movie. Now, I read somewhere, I think that they spent half of that for the salaries of Jack Palance and Martin Landau. So I believe that's correct. I don't have that verified. I think that's actually one of the trivia things from the IMDb. So, you know, the IMDb is always truthful and accurate. So who knows? But this movie, it's you have no buildup. There's no, you know, you just, the first scene is this guy out in the wilderness, you know, this camper, and his son is in the camper. His son's older, an adult now, hippie-ish style kind of guy, kind of lazy, didn't want to do nothing, doesn't want to hunt, doesn't want to kill nothing, doesn't want to carry a gun kind of thing. And this whole interaction between this father and his son, it's odd to say that. I mean, I understand if you have a father. My only guess is that the guy that wrote this or directed this or whatever must have had some father issues big time. Because there's a point where the son, like I said, he's an adult. So, you know, the dad gives him a double barrel shotgun, good old double barrel. That's March top of the line, baby. but then he breaks the breech open, takes the shells out. And he's like, no, I'm not gonna kill nothing. And he's sitting here on the side of this little creek, this little stream. But then you see the dad is over in the distance, and he aims the gun at his son like he's getting ready, like he's thinking about it, you know. But then he decides against it, and he's no. And then this is our first introduction to those little flying flesh discs, whatever. And they stick to the dad, and he doesn't last very long. And then we flash over to the son who is sitting by the stream, and he sees these things coming at him. The dumbass grabs the shotgun, which he just took the shells out. He grabs a shotgun to try and shoot this thing, but guess what? He's dead too. You know, and there's no lead up to this. There's no, you know, people seeing lights in the sky, aliens coming down. There's none of that build up or nothing. There's no story. You basically get these characters is just thrown out there to get killed real fast, and you see these discs. You're wondering, what the hell is this? What's going on? But then we're introduced to the four. There's a group of four teenagers, I guess, which David Caruso's with. I don't remember who the other guys were. I'm guessing that's Sandy and Greg, and maybe Aggie. I don't know. I'm looking through the names here. Beth. So it's gonna be Beth, Sandy, Tom, who is David Caruso, and some other guy. This other guy, dude, that's gotta be Christopher Nelson, maybe. I don't know. This dude was a terrible actor. I don't want to get into this acting. The acting through the whole movie is it's really bad. It's kind of like it's overacted. Big time. It's always like, you know, who's going to overdo it? I'm doing, you know, even with Martin Landau and Jack Palance, they're the best actors in the movie, but their portrayals in this movie are still always trying to outdo the other one, you know? It's odd, to say the least. It's odd. But the other guy that, I think it's Greg. You know, I don't even know. I think it's Greg. It was just, he was just terrible all the way around. Tara Nutter, I believe this is the girl that Greg was with. I'm not 100%. I'm trying to look up here on IMDb real fast. I know I should have written these names down better. There's a short called Greg and Sandy's Alien Adventure. Okay, now I know that those are the two that last a little bit longer because so that's who's the guy that's with who's with Beth? I don't know, whoever's the guy that's with Beth, maybe it's Hunter. I think it is Hunter. Him and Beth go off now. Beth, oh boy. Let's stick with the cast here real quick. I'm jumping around, but that's how I do. You know what? Let's not jump around. Let's not talk about the cast real quick. Let's go back to this damn movie because there's no lead up. They're not telling you that these are aliens or nothing. And that kind of irritated me that watching this time. I can see how younger myself liked it because of the sci-fi aspect of the horror thing. But there's no lead up. There's no, you know, build up on the characters. You don't really, in my opinion, you don't really get that. You know, I think the longest characters we spend time with are, you know, the four teenagers and Jack Plant and Martin Landau. But the overacting is crazy. Even, I mean, David Caruso did a decent job. He dies relatively quick. He's not in it very long. You know, because him and let's get into this now. Him, he plays Tom, him and Beth, right? Yeah, him and Beth go off to have a little hanky-panky, you know. They disappear. They never come back. So then Sandy and Greg are like, where are these guys at? What are they doing? Now, Sandy and Greg have never met each other. So they're kind of introduced, and they're supposed to be hanging out. And hey, it's a blind date kind of thing. Let's see if you can get along with these people and, you know, maybe just hang out with them, you know, whatever. So they're like, yeah, where'd these guys go? Let's go look for them. Hunter and what was her name? Beth? Yeah, Hunter and Beth. Where'd they go? Now, an interesting thing about Beth. Lynn Thiel. Her description is a buxom, sexy, and shapely blonde looker. She was actually a Playboy playmate. I want to get this correct. She may have, I think she was even Playmate of the Year at some point. I think it was in 79, if I'm correct. Nope. So actually, Horace Grummer, California, blah, 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 Playmate of the Month in the July 1975 issue of Playboy. That's what it was. Now, she did also star in another movie that I do love, which I have seen since the 80s, Humanoids from the Deep. Even the remake, the original's better. Stay tuned to my podcast. Guess what? You're wrong. In the future, I'm going to be covering that one. Yeah. Now, they go off to do a little hand-pinky. They never come back. So Greg and Beth go off looking for these two. They're traipsing around the wilderness looking for their friends. They come upon a shed. Let's go look in the shed, right? Check it out. They open the door to the shed, and the father and the son from the beginning of the movie and their friends, Beth and Hunter, are dead, hanging on the walls. Now, one of the things that with Lynn Thiel playing Beth, being the Playboy playmate, you know, she's a playmate girl, there was no booby shots. That was kind of let down, too. You know, it's an 80s movie, 80s horror movie with a Playboy playmate in it. Come on. Or a guy a boob, right? Anyway, this starts a whole. They go back to the truck. Beth and Sandy go back, or not Beth? Blah, Greg and Sandy go back to the truck to try and get out of there because something's amiss. And we still don't. I mean, there was a scene earlier in the movie that when I rewatched it again with my son, I watched it once by myself and I rewatched it again with my older son. When we rewatched it this time, there was a scene when they showed the father and the son from the beginning of the movie that you see this blue little dome through the weeds. You don't. I had never caught that before until just this past time. You don't know what it is because, again, they don't show any spacecraft, nothing like that's coming through. It's just this blue dome looking thing over in the weeds. Whatever. So back to Sandy and Greg. They get in this, I don't know, it's SUV, Jeep, Cherokee, some shit, Ford Bronco. I don't know what the hell it was. But they get in this thing, they can't get it to start, and these little flying flesh discs are getting all over, they're like attacking. There's one stuck in the wind and in the windshield right in front of them. And they're freaking out. And Beth just, or Sandy says, try the windshield wipers. It turns on the windshield wipers and it wipes it off. They start a truck and they go into town. They find a bar, right? They go to this bar. Oh. They go to this bar and they tell, and Greg tells, he's the one I made watch the movie with. Greg tells Sandy, stay in the truck. I'm going to go inside and see if I can get some help. This crowd of people in this bar. You know what? I skipped up a whole thing. I forgot about the Scoutmaster. Get this movie. Rewind. Push play. What? The Scoutmaster. There's a Scoutmaster that's got his Cub Scout group, and they're tramping through the wilderness in the same spot where these things are flying around. And he's one of those guys you're like, I don't know if I want him being a den leader with my kids, though. You know, he goes, and they're actually wearing Cub Scout uniforms. Now, I don't think this may have been filmed. I don't know if they had to. I'm sure they did not get the approval from the Cub Scout network or whatever the hell it is, BSA, whatever, use these uniforms in the movie. I don't think they did. I could be wrong. You never know. But they're Cub Scouts. They got the hats, the old A's, everything. Tramping through the woods. The Scoutmaster finds that Winnebago that the father and son were in. He goes up and knocking on there. Hey, I could use some help. I got some Cub Scouts down here, and my blisters are killing me. He dies. These little flesh discs come and kill him. But then the kids are down by the stream. I don't even remember everything he told the kids about Cub Scouting, whatever. The kids are down by the stream. All we see is the kids all in unison look at something that's off screen, and they kind of look up. They don't show it. You don't know what it is. And then they turn around screaming and run away. And what that sounded like, what them screaming, it sounded like a bunch of, if you took a bunch of cats and threw them in a box and you started shaking it and them cats screaming, that's what it sounded like. It was not that I've ever done that, or that I would. No, but anyway, that was the Cub Scout scene. That was the Scoutmaster scene. Back to the bar. I don't even remember who are all these people were in here, but Burt Davis is one of the men in the bar. It says here, Larry Storch was the Scoutmaster. Ralph Meeker was Dave. All right. So, get into this bar. Greg goes in and he's like, my friends are dead. I need help. One of the guys is like, get him a beer, Aggie. I don't want a beer. I'm telling you. Greg comes in and says, I need you to call the police. My friends are dead. They're dead down here. We saw them, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, well, you know, I'm not going to call the police unless you tell me exactly what's going on. So they tells him that thing. And just then Sarge comes in, Martin Landau. And they're like, hey, oh no, I'm sorry. Sarge was already there. He was playing pool. And they're like, Sarge, hey, is this guy, you know this guy, whatever? Apparently Sarge has seen these things for years or months or whatever, however long they've been there for. Because he knows exactly what the kid's talking about. So he's seen them. But he never got attacked, I guess. I don't know. There's a whole thing with Sarge and the kid and the people at the bar and them not believing Sarge, but now Sarge has somebody to back up his story. I don't know. It's very convoluted. But then Jack Plant shows up as Joe, the, I don't know, the country guy that likes to hunt and shit. I don't know. Sarge obviously was, he's got some PTSD from the war or some shit like that. I don't know what the hell happened to him. But Joe shows up and he's like the tough ass, the tough guy, you know, the Clint Eastwood type. You know, he's coming in here, he's going to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And he's all out of bubble gum. Name that movie. But, you know what? Let's speed this up because the movie's not really worth all this. Jack Plant evidently had gotten attacked by these things before. Yeah, it shows a scar on his leg. He cut it off. Something happened. And he goes outside. There's one on the wall. They show him cut it. And it's the graphics are, special effects are, it's not the greatest. You know, he cuts it. He peels it off the wall. And he's like, he takes it back to his house at one point. And for some odd reason, he's got this gallon jar of some strange liquid sitting in front of by the TV. He grabs it and throws it because he had it in his pocket. He peeled it off, put it in his pocket. He went to the house, got this jar of liquid, popped it in there. And as soon as he popped it in there, this tentacles or probe thing start coming out of the thing. Why didn't I do that while it was in his pocket? Fuck, I don't know. Damn, this movie. I got to tell you, all right, let's spin through. They go back. Jack Plant wants to know where the shed was. The kids take him to the shed. He sees them all. Sarge, they end up calling the sheriff. The sheriff shows up. This dick. The sheriff shows up. Sarge, Martin Landau, has a gun. So when the sheriff shows up, when he enters the bar, it's dark and you can't really see him. So for some odd reason, Sarge just shoots him. I don't know. He shoots him. And then there's a scene here that says, you better hope he doesn't die, Sarge. You know, because the ambulance comes and gets the sheriff, takes him back. Very small little scene there with the sheriff. Sarge is going wackadoo in his head. He's like, no escape, no rescue, no hiding. I don't know. He's some shit he's going on about. And we'll go back to Jack Plant's, Joe, and the kids at the... Sarge shows up out there, you know, and I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, you're one of them, blah, blah, all the shit going on back and forth. And that's when it happens. You look over in the distance by the shed where all their friends are dead. And there's this dude, like 8 foot tall, blue alien. Where'd he come from? There was never indication. Okay. Big blue headed alien. Now this guy, the blue alien was played by Kevin Peter Hall. Known as Kevin Hall. I don't know who this guy is. Was he in anything else? Yeah, it looks like he was in a lot of stuff here. Highway to Hell, Harry and the Hendersons. He was in Predator 2. Well, he's got a lot of... He's in Predator 2. Not Predator as well. He was in the first Predator and the second Predator. So he's been in a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of acting credits here. But for some odd reason, this blue alien shows up. And he doesn't really do anything. I mean, this is when we see that he's using these things as weapons. Because he starts throwing these frisbees out. You know, these flesh frisbee disc things or whatever the hell. Jack Plant gets some on him. He cuts them off. But then they have this huge idea that they have... I don't remember how the hell they did this. They had dynamite laid out because they were going to try and do something, kill them or something. They had dynamite laid out. They were going to blow up the shed where all the bodies were. The alien's relatively close to the shed, but he's not close enough, right? So Sarge. I think it's Sarge. Is it Sarge that does it? I think it's Sarge. I don't even know. Maybe it's Joe. Who? One of the idiots goes up there and is like, tells Sandy, just stay here. Push the plunger down when I get close. I'm gonna get him into the shed. Okay, goes over, gets him to the shed, blows him up. The end. Very uneventful ending. I mean, exploding. Let's talk about the big blue head alien. All right. He's a showstopper, right? I mean, does a lot in the movie. Throwing flesh frisbees and he's so tall, he's probably got to duck through, go through doorways in space. His head is just huge and blue. It's like they took a blueberry and stretched it out. It's just so these plot twist. I don't know why I wrote a plot twist in my notes. Because there's not really a plot to it. I mean, there's an alien. But when did the alien show up? Has he always been there? Did he just show up yesterday? You know? Special effects. They're a hit and miss. I mean, there are scenes where the special effects were really decent. Other scenes where it's just like, what the fuck is this? You know, the acting, like I said earlier, that's another thing I got in my notes here. It's a mixed bag. There's some performances were pretty solid. Now, you know, we had Jack Palance and Martin Landau. I mean, they're actors, you know. But some of the acting on there was very questionable. There's times where you're watching this and you're wondering, are the actors really acting or are they just bored and just playing along? Because a lot of the acting is pretty bad. You know, without warning from 1980, it's a fun in quotation marks, campy B movie. It's classic example of 80s sci-fi horror, easy special effects, over the top acting, zero or to no plot. You can laugh at it. I mean, but if you're going into this movie thinking you're going to watch something good, don't do it. Watch Day of the Dolphin instead. I'm serious. But that's it. That is my view on Without Warning from 1980. Forgotten. Maybe it was better to be forgotten, in my opinion. You know, it ruined my that nostalgia's gone. I was going to buy the Blu-ray because there's a Blu-ray version on Amazon. I was going to buy it. I don't think I'm going to now. Let's just got some commentary because it'd be interesting to hear some of that commentary. I might do it for that. But in my opinion, no good. No bueno. And if you disagree with me, guess what? You're wrong. That's it. That's all I got for you. Everybody, check out my podcast, Guess What You're Wrong, for some vampire horror coming up in October. With Gil Manjol on the first episode. Check it out. That's it. Everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease, baby. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.